Bleak Expectations by Mark Evans. Volume 2, Chapter the 4th, A Restoration Re-Ruined, Only Even Worse.
Late again. I asked my daughter and her confounded husband to be here for a certain hour, and they willfully ignore me.
Perhaps they do it for your entertainment, sir?
Meaning?
They know how you enjoy being angry, so they give you reason to be so.
Yeah. Well, that would also explain the dreadful Christmas presents.
Mr. and Mrs. Sourfield, sir.
I've told you before, do not remind me my daughter is married to that imbecile.
Sorry, your daughter Lily and a strange man, sir.
Forgive our tardiness.
Always, dear daughter.
Yes, indeed, Sir Philip. Forgive our lateness.
Never, Mr. Sarkwell.
It is my fault, Papa, for pregnancy has given me cravings for curious foods. And before we set off, I simply had to have a lunch consisting entirely of horse. I started with horse soup, moved on to a fish course consisting of a bit of horse cut into the shape of a fish. A horse sorbet to clear the palate, then main course of horse pie and a dessert of sticky pony pudding.
And the long meal made you late.
Oh, the fact that I'd eaten the horse which usually pulls our carriage made us late.
We had to use a substitute horse consisting of two actors in a horse costume. Alas, they were dreadful. As they pulled, they insisted on performing a series of light equine comic vignettes, which, while amusing, were hardly conducive to swift progress.
Well, you're here now, so we may begin.
Of course. Beneath this covering in a cage, I have a marvelous creature which will listen to and repeat everything you say. Behold, the dicta parrot. But it is gone.
Parrot cake. Like a carrot cake, but with more parrot.
You may use one of my pens.
Oh, thank you, Sir Philip. But alas, I have no notebook.
Notebook? A l'orange. But, dear husband, why not use the massive surface area of my pregnant stomach as a notebook?
Oh, an excellent idea, dearest. I shall just test the system.
Oh, it tickles.
It is both efficient and pleasing to my wife.
Very well. Then I shall continue. When we last left my story, my best friend Harry Biscuit, my sister Pippa, and I, Pip Finn, were trapped deep in the bowels of the burning Houses of Parliament.
We must escape. Excellent plan, Pip Finn. I wish I'd thought of it.
But how? The flames will soon consume us.
Got it. Speaker Sternbeater.
In the inferno, I'd forgotten about the corrupt and drunken Speaker of the House of Commons, Jedrington Sternbeater, who lay in a brandy-soaked stupor on the floor.
Quickly, place that table over him. Now, all of us, on the table.
We climbed on, and I took a bottle of the Speaker's brandy and poured it over him, at which point he awoke.
Oh, brandy, delicious.
A spark leapt from the walls, and he caught light immediately.
Flambé!
How dare you? I'm Speaker of the House of Commons, not a crepe Suzette.
His talking did the trick. His 100% proof breath ignited.
Oh, dear.
And he exploded. He was a large man. He was full of brandy and, even worse, had recently consumed a dinner of diesel soup and gunpowder pie. He detonated with so much force that the table we were on was blown straight through the ceiling. Through the burning floors above. And then finally through the roof and into the sky.
We are free of the fire.
But alas, you're not free of gravity.
Whoa! The arc of our fall took us towards Parliament Square. And I saw we were plummeting towards a statue of one of Britain's greatest, yet laziest generals, the Earl of Can't Be Bothered, who had famously commanded every battle while reclining on a large sofa. He hadn't bothered to turn up to be sculpted, so the statue was simply a large sofa. And luckily, the sculptor, too, could not be bothered, and rather than sculpting one from stone, had simply brought a large sofa and painted it gray.